Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 as we consider this morning the testimony of the wise men. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this record you have given us of these men who came from a distance, Gentile men, to worship the newborn King of Israel. There's something for us to learn from this, so teach us this day by your Holy Spirit as we consider the things you wrote about this in your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just about every nativity scene, you find camels and wise men. Typically, three wise men. Sometimes they are called kings, such as we just sang, "We three kings of Orient are." Except that they weren't kings. At least the scripture calls them wise men. And where did they come from? All we know is they came from the east. Which kingdom in the east did they come from? Which king did they serve there? And why did they come? This last question is one we can answer, and in observing their coming to see Jesus, we can learn something about how we should approach the Savior. They knew there was a child newly born to be the King of the Jews, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now these wise men knew the King of the Jews had been recently born, and so they're not looking for an adult, they're looking for a child. How did they know he had been born? Well, it says in verse 2, "We have seen his star in the east." They knew the King of the Jews had been born because they'd seen his star in the east. Now, the star wasn't in the eastern sky. They were in the east, and the star was west of them towards Jerusalem. I personally believe we do a disservice to the miraculous acts of God by trying to understand his star as some natural astrological occurrence. This was not a star that appeared at the time of Jesus' birth. This was his star. This was a miraculous object in the sky which the wise men identified as the star of the newborn King of the Jews. And this star did some miraculous things. How did the wise men know to connect Jesus' birth to this particular star? Well, that's another whole sermon. It's somewhat of a mystery, but sometime I'll preach that. The wise men came with the purpose of worshiping the newborn king, verse 2 continues, and are come to worship him. Now, it was very normal in those days for people to worship kings, but what was not normal was for Gentiles to worship a Jewish king. That was something rather remarkable. Now, the wise men expected to find the new infant king in the capital of the Jews, and they expected that everybody in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, would know all about this newborn king of the Jews. After all, he's the king of the Jews. So they come to Jerusalem, it says in verse 1. They came to Jerusalem, and in verse 2, they're asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" They came to Jerusalem. They They didn't go directly to King Herod. They didn't go to the palace where you might expect to find a king. They just kind of come into Jerusalem. We always picture them riding on camels, if you can imagine them riding through the great wall of the city, through one of the gates. And we don't know how many there were exactly and what kind of entourage they might have had with them and pack animals and all of that. And they kind of come into a busy city. Jerusalem was highly populated. And they just kind of stop whoever and say, "Hey, where is your newborn king?" What kind of looks do you think they got? "We didn't know about that. What are you talking about?" And you know how news spreads in a city like that? The chatter begins. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, eventually the word gets up to King Herod, who has not yet met the wise men. Somebody comes and tells him, "Do you know there's some Gentiles out there asking where the newborn king of the Jews is?" Remember, Herod is a ruthless man who has executed numerous members of his own family because he considered them to be rivals. So when he hears this, well, the first thing he does is he calls in. He doesn't call the wise men in first. The first thing he does is he calls in the chief priests and scribes. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And so they tell him. They knew. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, ruler, king, if you will, that shall rule my people Israel." Herod had a suspicion that the chief priests and the scribes would know about this, and he wanted to know what the Old Testament had to say. He's heard about the Messiah. He's heard about the one that is to come to be the king of the Jews. He hasn't been king in Israel for all these many 20-some, maybe 30 years, and not have heard about these things, at least. So Herod is informed that Micah of chapter 5, verse 2, identifies the town of Bethlehem as the location of the birth. Then Herod brings the wise men in, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. They claimed they knew about the birth because they had seen his star, so the timing of the appearance of the star was very important to King Herod. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now, we understand that a lot of things happen that's not recorded in Scripture. And God records only what we need to know, but sometimes you like to speculate a little bit. And according to the order of things here, first he speaks to the chief priests and the scribes. Then he has a private conversation with the wise men. I kind of think Herod was being a little deceptive here and pretended to know all about the birth of the king and the timing and all of that. Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, the Old Testament tells us about that. And, yeah, we know all about it. And he didn't know a thing about it before he talked to the chief priests and the scribes. But I kind of think to the wise men, he pretended to be very knowledgeable and very concerned about finding this child. And we're so glad you came to do this. And when you find him, you come back and tell me, because I would like to worship him also. So at the word of King Herod, the wise men sought the newborn king in Bethlehem. It says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And on their way, lo and behold, the star, his star, appears. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, when they were in the east, they saw the star, the same star went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. This star actually guided the wise men to the exact location of the birth of Jesus. The miraculous thing is that when the wise men first saw the star 2 years ago, they were 1,000 miles away, over in the east. Now they're over in the west in Jerusalem, and they see the same exact star, and they know it's exactly the same star. And this time, the star actually moves and guides them. Somehow, this star pointed the wise men to the exact location, stood right over the house where Jesus was. This is just too local for me to think that this was some planet or some star that naturally exists out in the universe. The next planet, Venus, is 67 million miles away from Earth. Mars is 140 million miles away from Earth. And our sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. And the next closest sun is called Proxima Centauri, and it is 25 trillion miles from Earth. Now, you tell me how any one of those objects could stand right over top of the house where Jesus was, let alone move in such a direction that it guides the wise men from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That sounds pretty miraculous to me. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then the wise men came, and it says in verse 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for a king. Go back to Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is a messianic psalm. In verse 1, it says, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness. Verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea. Verse 10, the kings of Tarshish of the isles shall bring presents. I kind of think this is where some people get the idea that the wise men were kings. Because we're talking about the Messiah here. Only the Messiah has dominion from sea to sea. But I don't think this is a reference to the wise men. Anyway, it says, yea, all the kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. And it's sort of in a millennial kind of a context. But what we have here is verse 12, he shall deliver the needy. Verse 14, he shall redeem their soul. Verse 15, he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. So we have a connection between the Messiah and gold. And he is described as a king. What the wise men were thinking, they saw him as a king. They came saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And gold is fit for the king, and there is certainly a connection between gold and the Messiah as king. Frankincense. Go back to Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34. Exodus chapter 30, verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Verse 35, thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. At the end of verse 36, it says, this ointment will be unto you most holy. At the end of verse 37, again, it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Pure frankincense in a pure and holy perfume that is holy unto the Lord. Certainly, this two-year-old child who has been born king of the Jews was pure and holy. What about the myrrh? Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Back up a few verses. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh. And it also mentions sweet cinnamon and sweet calamus. And in verse 24, cassia and olive oil. And all of this was to be put together in a holy anointing oil in verse 25. And then this anointing oil in verse 30, thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now, I know, just like the song we sang this morning, we three kings of Orient are, regarding the myrrh, it was actually used in anointing the dead bodies, and it was used on Jesus' body in John chapter 19, verse 39. But I'm trying to think like the wise men. They came to worship a king. Did they also know he was the great high priest and provide the myrrh for his anointing for that purpose? Perhaps. They acknowledged him as king with their gold. They acknowledged him as the Holy One with frankincense. And they acknowledged him as priest with the myrrh. But there were three intangible gifts they gave to him. In verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, they saw the young child. It made me think this. They did not come to be seen. They came to see him. And it makes me ask this question. When we come together here, do we come to be seen? Or do we come to give our devotion to Him? Which is the most appropriate? The second thing they gave Him was their devotion. They fell down and worshiped Him in verse 11. This was not a ritual exercise. They were not seeking credit for worshiping Jesus. They were totally sincere in paying homage to their King. Sincerity isn't everything, but it is a part. So when you come to church, or you have your devotions at home, or when you pray, or when you serve God, which is it? Are you seeking credit for doing what you do? Or are you giving your devotion to Him sincerely and unselfishly? And thirdly, they gave Him their loyalty. In verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Do you think they had a discussion about that? Now, Herod said, come back and tell me where the young child was. They probably said, we'll do that. Gave them their word, they would do that. Why wouldn't they give them their word? I mean, they're reasonable men. King Herod seemed like a reasonable fella. He wanted to come and worship Jesus. Sure, we'll be back. We'll be back. We'll tell you where He is. But then this dream comes along and tells them that King Herod isn't what he pretends to be. And they wake up and they say, I had this dream. Yeah, I had a dream. Yeah, I had the same dream. They all had the same dream. It must mean something. Don't you think we ought to keep our word and go back to King Herod? Do you think they had that discussion? I don't think so. I don't think so. They were too loyal to the King that they had just come to worship. They weren't going to take a chance on being party to threatening His life. The decision was very easy on their part. They went home another way. What will you give to the Savior? We should acknowledge Him as our King. We should acknowledge Him as the Holy and Just One. We should acknowledge Him as our Great High Priest. But then we should also give Him our attention. And we should give Him our devotion. And we should give Him our loyalty. He gave so much for us. Is it so little to ask to give these things to Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the wise men. Thank You for telling us about them and showing us what was in their heart. Lord, I pray that You'd put those same things in our hearts. May Jesus be all of these things to us, our King, our Holy One, our Great High Priest. And may we be all of these things to Him, our attention, our devotion, and our loyalty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.